This is the Norris Group's Real Estate Investor Radio Show, the award-winning show dedicated to thought leaders shaping the real estate industry and local experts revealing their insider tips to succeed in an ever-changing real estate market. Hosted by author, investor, and hard money lender, Bruce Norris.
Hi, thank you for joining us. My name is Bruce Norris, and today our special guest is Aaron Norris, my son. Aaron is the vice president of the Norris Group. His role at the Norris Group includes loan officer, office manager, and business development. Aaron has been in the real estate field for over a decade, having worked in the construction and design industry before joining the Norris Group in 2005. He speaks nationally on topics including technology and real estate, artificial intelligence, robotics, shared economy, virtual reality, and fintech, which I don't even know what it is, as well as marketing and PR trends. He has contributed to Forbes, BiggerPockets.com, Think Real Estate, Realty Magazine. Aaron has an MBA from UC Irvine. He is an accredited public relations professional in APR and also holds his certified specialist in plan giving CPSG designation. Aaron, welcome to our show. And Hi. Thank you for adding all those designations to stuff we didn't have before.
You know, just me wanting to learn. So it's been a fun decade, let me tell you that.
I'll tell you what's interesting is just reading that, it just allows me to realize how things have changed because I didn't need any of that. And now you can't even market without understanding it.
Well, you know, sometimes it's just clues. It's funny. Like, so an example, a best example I can think of is the Better Business Bureau. For a very specific demographic, if they say an A-plus rating on the BBB, it's magic. They'll just be like, okay, next, I'm ready to do business with you.
Wow.
Where millennials might be like, what?
Yeah.
it's just interesting. I mean, I did all those designations because I wanted to learn. I find it a little bit obnoxious. I mean, obviously, you don't have some of those designations, and you've done just fine.
I don't have any of them.
I know.
I don't even understand what some of them I just read.
I'm just waiting for somebody to give you an honorary doctorate with as much as you read and you, just because you have degrees doesn't mean anything, but it's the way that I learn, it's best if it's in a structured environment. So I got through that process and glad I went through it. I learned a lot, but reading on my own has never been easy for me.
It's just so different, for the first, 15 years, 20 years of my buying experience, I ran an ad in the newspaper. Mm-hmm. And people actually read newspapers at that time, and I could buy properties and make a living. And, you know, a decade later, it's so changed. And it's changed. You've gradually shown us how contacting our clients has changed. You know, things that they used to read 5 years ago, like an email or whatever, they're not there.
Yeah, it's definitely gotten a lot more complicated. And, you know, there's so much noise out there. When I speak on marketing and PR, we often have the conversation of once upon a time, if you took a marketing class, the average time a consumer needed before they would do business with you is 7 impressions of your organization. I was at a public relations event about 2 years ago, and the lady that was speaking was part of this data analytics company, and she says the number is closer to 21 now. And the problem is that you've got so many distractions. So I'm that guy watching Game of Thrones on the TV, playing a game on my iPad, and I may be texting. You never have my undivided attention ever. Mm-hmm. And that's not including, you know, all the notifications that pop up on two of those devices while you're triple screening. They call it double screening when you're using two screens at the same time. So it's just gotten a little more difficult. I still love direct mail. I love phone conversations, but to me, technology, it's just, it's causing a lot of noise. So it has changed.
Does reputation of a business still hold a lot of weight? So when we speak or somebody, you know, talks about us, is that still a very effective method of how we hear from people?
Yeah. And you know what? It's interesting. We were one of Microsoft's very first partners signed on to a customer relations management software that they had in the cloud. We were one of the first 10.
I remember that.
Yeah. It was very interesting how that all happened. But we were doing a lot of things. There was 1 year where we gave up 26 weekends. And at the very end of our very first year, we ran the data on where our leads were coming from. But more importantly, not just leads, people that ended up in our database, which fantastic. We've got thousands of leads, but conversions. So mm-hmm. getting a little bit smarter, who actually ended up doing business with us. Speaking was not it was in the top three, but it was number three and a little bit further down on the list than I was expecting. Come to find out, search engine optimization and the internet It was split between that and referrals. So as a marketer, I have to sit down, okay, we need to do more of those two things, and mm-hmm. we can still speak. The next year, we stop speaking on weekends to no detriment to our lead sources. So sometimes it's just trying to find out what's actually working, and it's easy to get distracted by the number of people coming in. It's do they convert? So I've always had a very unique opinion on emails and how we contact people. I'm always about white hat strategy, and there's marketers that completely disagree with me.
What is a white hat strategy?
White hat strategy means that you're always doing what's not always expedient and easiest. So I can buy 100,000 friends on Twitter, but it doesn't mean they're actually my friends or they give care about what we actually do. I've caught some of our hard money loan competitors doing this, and it's clear that they've purchased ratings from Pakistan. You can tell by the broken English, and you can sort of source where they're coming from. At any moment in time, Facebook can go, you don't do hard monies in Pakistan, and all these are junk.
Wow.
So they've decimated their reputation online, and they don't even know it. And when it happens, they'll have to start completely over to their detriment. So if you don't know that that's coming, it's just a detriment. And some people who don't put on their real marketing long-term strategy hat, they'll get sold by a marketing company just trying to show numbers and Facebook friends and likes, and that's just not the most important piece.
What I think I'm most excited for you and for the company is that you're creating your own identity of expertise. Mm-hmm. So I've had the timing space, and I think you're going to have like the future space. You go to these tech shows. That's one of the perks of being kind of connected to the media now. You have a press card and you get invited to stuff.
Yeah, that's pretty weird to be at that table, just being in a crater for so long, and because we've really focused on information. We don't sell on the show. So, we've sort of become media Switzerland. It's not unusual for me to get a phone call just with a reporter wanting to talk shop and get questions, and there's no expectation that we're going to be covered in the source, but they see us as a safe place to get good information. We've positioned ourselves as a leader in the space. And that takes time. That's not something that happens overnight.
The tech show in Vegas that you got invited to, that was kind of an invitation-only event, right?
Right. I belong to the National Association of Real Estate Editors because of I Survive Real Estate and our radio show that we've done over the years. So the only two investor sources at the conferences that I go to are typically me or Bigger Pockets, and then it's all just the regular media. But yeah, the Consumer Electronics Show and the Builder Show, because I was part of that organization. But getting into that organization took over 10 years building this program.
Wow.
And showing that we were adding value. Keyword there.
What were your takeaways from those shows? It's the changing of an industry, basically.
The Consumer Electronics Show was interesting. I think it was a little bit different than I thought it was going to be. I guess I was really expecting to see a lot more forward-looking stuff, and I was there specifically to understand artificial intelligence and the connection with Amazon Alexa and Google Home and Apple and all these big companies fighting for the way to be your ecosystem of choice, and how they're all positioning and the hardware they're producing to support that. I was interested in learning more about blockchain and robotics and how we're going to live in the future. Heard a lot of really interesting things, somebody from Toyota made an interesting observation, in maybe in 10 years' time, the average household won't need new cars, so we're going to be willing to spend the extra money on a robot assistant for the home. So, which I got to meet a handful of those. So you've got Pepper or Timmy, and they'll be doing everything from working with seniors, telling them jokes, reminding them to take your medication to seriously. They're really positioning to be caretakers. There was a panel there. I ended up taking a big health track. There was a lot of great education there. But one of the panelist members, I forget who he was with, but he said, 80% of healthcare is actually going to take place in the home because of wearables and robotics. So all of this technology is sort of coming together and putting my real estate investor hat on, okay, how does that change design? And it was very fun. There was a robotics panel, and they were all sort of showing off some
they
really
were people,
cool.
People, though, right?
Oh, they're very fun. True. They were all up on stage, and I got up and asked the question, I'm in real estate, investing, and building. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you would suggest that we change in our design process to be more robot friendly. I think it was in a Forbes article I wrote, you know, coming soon to the MLS, robot friendly home kind of thing, or robot accessible. You know, it's just, it's silly things like, okay, no shag carpet, even though that's not in, stairs, get rid of those, high thresholds, things like that. But
well, but that that becomes a tiebreaker ultimately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's why our builder, the partner in Florida, he goes to those.
Yeah. we hung out at the International Builder Show, and I realized how little I know about building. So that was the first time in sort of that environment and looking at, you know, everything for sale and all the trends that are going on. I did actually enjoy the press conferences a little bit more because that's where they were releasing all the data. We had the builder show on a couple weeks ago talking with their research, talking about the consumers and the different demographics and what they want. So I've definitely inherited that piece from you. I like looking at all the data. So from the recent reports that California Association of Realtors just put out about what consumers want in the buying process, from the home, the neighborhoods, and the state that they're moving to, and then you see from the builder's perspective, you know, real estate investors, what's interesting is we sort of have to know a little bit of all that stuff because it ties into what we're doing.
Well, I know for most of the people, there was a timing report we did probably a little over 2 years ago where you had a chapter.
Yeah.
And to me, that was fascinating. And although I probably was not able to absorb 50% of it, it was great for the exposure. And I really think, I think that's going to be the niche that you will own. And that is an annual necessity because things change so fast.
Yeah, I've actually taken that on the road for the last couple of years. And what's fun and stressful about it is every time I do it, it changes because new things are coming at us all the time in the different buckets of what I cover in there. So I think it's going to catch people off guard how quickly it actually happens.
That's the thing I think is coming is speed to that, because you have a lot of big money chasing first time events. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to have some results when you throw that much money at things.
Yeah, the biggest thing that I'm looking at right now from just strictly the technology sector, forget everything going on in the real estate space, but the 5G connection. There was, I was hoping for clarity in January at the CES show, and I didn't get it. And I felt better knowing that nobody else knew either. So people are using it as a marketing tool when it's not really a reality. I know some people at Los Angeles Department on Water and Power, and I asked them, it would only make sense if they're talking to you because the technology requires a lot more antennas to work a lot closer together. The only person with that much real estate is a utility company with poles that they can put those on. Mm-hmm. So they haven't started that in mass. So if you're not doing that in the city of Los Angeles, you're doing it wrong because the demographics are largely millennial. There's a lot of young millennials that live like majorly in the Los Angeles County area. So that would be probably one of their main rollouts, you would think. They're talking about by April, I forget which company is going to start rolling it out in some markets, but it's a race. But what that does is all of a sudden driverless cars, no issue, not a problem at all. It allows you to do things like artificial or virtual reality that is completely wearable because you're not tethered to a computer. So batteries are getting smaller. When you no longer have to have the data actually on the device and it's just connected
to the
cloud and it's an immediate communication,
yeah.
All of a sudden, think about how small things can get. So one of the very first devices I saw at CES was a hearing aid that could transcribe language in real time. It could detect the fall of like a senior. It could, it's monitoring your heart rate. It did all these things. Like, so it's no longer just a heart rate monitor.
Wow.
So there's this convergence because you don't have to have a hard drive hanging out of your ear to work. So when all these things get smaller, the batteries get smaller, you no longer have to have all the computing power on board. You know, I really think we're not going to be looking at computer screens or at least cell phone screens in short order, especially when 5G comes out, because wearables. So Apple just came out with their watch to where it's like EKG kind of data coming through and that they're, you know, you've got on your wrist, and it's not just a watch. It's now a healthcare monitor.
Yes.
It's texting.
Sandy bought me one. I'm trying to figure out how to work it.
it's just going to happen fast. So there's a lot of stuff, and I know it doesn't seem like it carries over to real estate, but it could certainly change where we move, why we move. I mean, even trends in just what people are buying and why.
That's real important. If you're in the building business, you get one step ahead of that one. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about investing in Florida. You've been experienced at it now yourself. So what was your first exposure to owning something in Florida?
Well, Greg was out there flipping properties, and he's like, I don't want this one. Do you want it? So it was in the Orlando market. It was a condo. I had some cash laying around, so it was very unique. It's the weirdest condo I've ever been a part of. So it's a 3, 2.5, 1,800 square feet, a little larger, two-story, and it's got its own little mini pool in the backyard. It's a
that's
really
pretty
unique
common
space.
In Florida. And in higher-end condos, that's what Dalton will build for people, like a track of that type.
Oh, yeah. And so it's done well. I've had a great renter in there. I put $20,000 in it, and I would live in this place. Yeah. It's really nice.
Isn't that interesting that all of our rentals in Florida have that attached to it, that you'd live there, like all the stuff in Leesburg. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a nice area.
Yeah. I always, when I do speaking, I always talk about how I got in the business, because I think that's the most fascinating piece of what we do, is everybody comes at this from a different angle. You know, I used to be an actor in New York, and here I am making up for financial lost times as an actor in New York. I had a great time, and there's no regrets, but so this is my first real estate cycle. So, you know, I've got a lot of condos that I bought at the bottom of the market. I've got these rentals are from the 70s and 80s. I'm tired of dealing with the repairs, and they've done their job. So we've been talking a lot about that. Has it done its job? Yeah. So moving from one single family property here in the Riverside area to three brand new homes in Florida, going from $1,325 in rent to three houses that have $1,325 in rent, that was a very powerful moment. Like, I just didn't fully appreciate. So I'm all in. That I'm all about. I've learned that I'm definitely a buy and hold investor. I guess Mick Blackwell has just really gotten into my head. And that's been the goal. So I'm looking forward to doing as many as possible.
You know, the idea of the Florida boot camp really came from our own experiences.
Yeah.
Like that exchange that you did and the things that I did and the happiness that we've had over the last couple of years in owning that inventory as opposed to owning what we had before.
Mm-hmm.
And then you sort of get this idea that, okay, I'd like to share it. That's usually part of our business model, is that wherever we're doing, if we're going to get out of California in 2006, we write a document about it. So now we wrote this document about California on borrowed time, and the idea was, you know, if you're going to exchange someplace, this makes a lot of sense to me. This is why I did it. So we recently just had a boot camp, and one of the goals for me, because I knew the investors had a lot of experience and they're used to making their own hands-on decisions, the biggest thing that I thought we needed to accomplish in the boot camp, when we had 70 people?
Yeah.
Okay. And then we intentionally made it a small group. We had other people want to go. We have another group that wants to go, but we thought smaller would be better.
Yes. And I'm glad we did that.
Yeah. That was big and important, because there was allowed personal attention during the last day and a half, mm-hmm, for people to talk to the team. But one of the things that was really great is that when I was up there interviewing each of the people, and then we all got up there, as they were responding to questions, I could see that there was a level of acceptance that had happened.
Mm-hmm.
Is that you could just say, wow, these guys are the pros.
Yeah.
I don't need to fly back to Florida to check out my stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, that responsibility is intense. So it's been a journey. I mean, the book that we created was 190 pages, and we honestly didn't go over it a lot because we're going to leverage the portal for that. So we're creating videos on everything from endangered species to utility systems for properties. There's a lot that goes into it. But I know, you know, my first time out there, how do you get to know an area?
Yeah.
And
pick a lot and know that I could stand on the lot for a week and I still wouldn't make the decision that somebody that's been there for 30 years would make. There's no way.
Well, and the danger of showing up and just wearing your California hat.
Yeah.
You would have made at least five mistakes that, especially if you were in a 1031 exchange, could blow up your timeline and you would be paying a lot of money in taxes.
Yeah.
So my favorite is the, you know, there's one particular endangered species that if it happens to be in breeding season and get caught, you could get on hold for 5 months before you can solve the issue. So if just going into a different market and just not know what you're looking at, assuming, you know, you start sending out mailers, you're like, look at the great deal I got, and you just find out you get hosed. It's just, yeah, we did not take that book lightly and the trip lightly. And our goal was, yeah, definitely, you spent an hour with everybody there, and they all came after the timing report. So they knew why they were going from the timing report.
Yeah, the meeting was, those meetings were individual, either on the phone or in person. That was their choice, either one. And that was exactly what I needed to do. I needed to qualify them to make sure that that was a good fit for them to do this, and also look at their inventory and honestly say, yeah, I would keep this inventory in California if I were you. And this is the stuff I'd get rid of because this is what gets nailed. You know it. That's why you bought it so cheap in the first place. It, in a next downturn, even if the downturn's mild, this inventory gets killed. It's just, that's what happens. So why not trade something that's 40 years old in a so-so area for a new house? That just, since I did that with my inventory, it was easy to want to pass that on because my life has been very boring since those rentals have showed up.
Yeah. Mine as well. So believe me, even everything that I still have some stuff here, and I don't know if I'm going to sell everything. But the journey into the new inventory, a nice 10-year run, not having to fix stuff, the level of tenant that it attracts, it's been fun.
We also are going to create a fund. Mm-hmm. And what's neat about that is Greg flipped about 80 houses in about 2017 only. But one of the difficulties in flipping homes in Florida was we came at the end of the foreclosure cycle. Mm-hmm. So there were properties that had been vacant for 4 years, or the people had been occupying them for 4 years and not caring.
Yeah.
And so Greg is so good at estimating repairs in California because he's done it almost 1,000 times. And then Florida had this twist of, okay, a Florida house sitting there for a while has some more repairs.
Yeah, if you're just really not tuned into the, Greg's been on the show before too, talking about the, you know, things like roofs and air conditioners that can really catch you off guard. And in that market, those home inspectors can really nail you and blow up your transaction if those things aren't up to snuff in their opinion. So that's right. A little brutal.
So that's why I'm excited because, you know, we've been able to make this contact with Dalton. You've met Dalton's team. You really like everybody's attached to it. I like the product they built. Our model was received like it was incredible. Yeah. It was very fun to, there were people walk through going, well, I don't own any rentals that look like this.
Yeah, that was fun.
But so what we're going to do is put together a partnership where people, it's almost like they're investing in a trustee. They get a return, but the product we're selling is new. We're not flipping old homes. And so I'm excited to get that started.
Yeah, and I just think with all the stuff that we've covered over the last couple of years with John Burns, I mean, we've been promoting his book, Big Shifts Ahead. You know, it's really time. Our mission is to build wealth and legacy through real estate. We really helped accomplish that. You know, you've done that twice. You've had two full cycles, the your first market timing report, you know, the California comeback in 97, and then the California crash. So you've helped make people millions and save them millions. And then now this is another whole cycle of people that get to sort of really look at their portfolio strategically. And you know what? Maybe they decide not to buy anything. I think that's fully the case. But for them to be grateful to have gone through the process is how we looked at the market and the data and all that kind of stuff. It was fun. We had some good feedback. It was very rewarding. I'm exhausted still.
Yeah, it was fatiguing. I guess we're people don't want a Florida timing report. We might work on that for next year, and then we need a tech day from you. And outside of that, Aaron, thanks for talking with us today.
Of course.
The Norris Group originates and services loans in California and Florida under California DRE License 01219911, Florida Mortgage Lender License 1577, and NMLS License 1623669. For more information on hard money lending, go to thenorrisgroup.com and click the Hard Money tab.
For more information on hard money loans and upcoming events with the Norris Group, check out thenorrisgroup.com. For information on passive investing with trust deeds, visit tngtrustdeeds.com.